The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Throw Around Your Questions, episode 156. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How you doing? And a very special happy birthday to Mr. Chris Seeley.
Chris Seeley?
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Happy birthday, man. Mr. Carlos Romero.
Oh, shit, I didn't know. Happy birthday, Chris.
Brett Murdoch.
What's up, everybody?
And Adam Vale.
I read about Chris's birthday on Reddit. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris, we won't, you know, tell people your age, but you're old man. The old man of the internet.
Yeah, man. I turned elderly. I woke up with a monocle on, and the Wall Street Journal was by my bed instead of my phone. I'm like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, it's like, I don't even have a subscription to this shit. Oh, man. All right. We want to wish everybody a happy... We got to come up with a name for, like... I mean, we have Gamageddon, but it's like, what do we call it post-Gamageddon? Because I'm assuming... We didn't get a lot of questions this week, and I'm assuming it's because everybody's just playing all these games that dropped. It's crazy, man. You know? We'll come up with a name for it.
We've weirdly come into a place where the conversation has turned to from what's out to what... that is out, am I playing?
Yeah, or what are you playing first? Because it's fucking nuts, man. All right, couple things here. And again, I got to get into the habit of this shit. All right, I need you guys to hit that bell button down there next in subscription on YouTube just to have a better chance, but to have a definitive chance of you getting notified because people are still not getting notified. Follow us on Twitter and turn on mobile notifications for the throwdown on Twitter. So that way you'll get a notification on your phone. You'll be good, you know. And I think it also pops up on your desktop as well. Enable desktop notifications. You'll be straight because, again, YouTube is not 100% reliable. Twitter is more reliable with notifications. So please turn those on, you know, because things are getting a little loopy, you know.
Also, I'd like to add a little something. Thank you guys for all of you who've watched the most recent episode of The Throwdown. I think as of now, we have over 1,000 views on that one.
Yeah, episode. That was pretty nutty, man. I think YouTube like realized like, you know, we weren't breaking the rules. But then the funny thing is 19 hours afterwards, they demonetized the fucking episode, which kind of halted the progress. but then they re-monetized it. So that algorithm is all kinds of fucked up, you know? Mm-hmm. But either way, you know, thank you guys for watching that episode. I guess you like the art. That's what I'm assuming did it, you know?
I don't know. I mean, whatever it was, it made you all love it. But yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Shit. Yeah, we don't know what's going on with Brian. So maybe he'll show up. Maybe he won't. Who knows? So let's get... By the way, I quickly need to say this. There was one guy in the comments section of the last episode talking shit about Brian. He's like, why is this guy on the show? He doesn't contribute anything. I'm like, bro, Brian's one of like the old cats, man. Like he's one of like, besides Manny, like, man, he was on the show before even you, I think, you know?
No, he is probably the with the exception of you, the most senior member of this show.
Yeah. So you got to give Brian this respect. You know, he, you know, he doesn't talk a lot, but when he does talk, it has power.
He doesn't say a lot, but you know, when he does say it, it does have heft. And I mean, granted, give the guy a little credit because it's like the next day, 7 a.m. in the morning.
No, he's it's 3 a.m. for him, man.
It's every, like 3 a.m. in the morning. How spry will you be at fucking 3 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, exactly. Seriously. You know, so give the man some props.
He's playing Warframe. Like the thing you guys don't understand is like, we're here 6 hours a week, and while that may not sound like a whole lot, it's 6 hours of our free time on top of the jobs and shit that we already have on, you know, visiting friends and family and shit like that. Like, 6 hours of your free time every week is a good chunk of time, so you can't blame the guy for multitasking and playing some video games when he has some time. That is what the podcast is about.
Exactly. So, we play games. We're not just guys that talk about games. We play them.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about them.
Exactly.
The podcast is not, we put the podcast up because we love to do this stuff, but we don't make any money off of this shit. We keep talking about monetization, but all we really get is like a couple of bucks off of any of that shit. We really have no heft as far as any of that goes. I mean, we're lucky if it even pays to keep the show on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Or pay for our internet for a little bit of money to have our throwdownshow.com or whatever.
Shit. Tony's the only person that gets review copies, and that's not even because of this show.
It's not. It's because of my day job, you know?
Yeah, no, we don't even, this show doesn't even buy us the games that we talk about. We go out and buy the games and then talk about them for free. We are chumps.
Yeah, by the way, and Nate says every topic really doesn't pertain to anyone. That's also true. You know, if you don't really know too much about a topic, you're not going to chime in. And by the way, these guys are having their own conversation in the chat. That's pretty cool. They're talking about Sucker Punch. But yeah, like when we had Riku on, he wouldn't talk about a lot of stuff because he wouldn't really care about it, you know?
Yeah. Riku had a specific line of things that he enjoyed. And a lot of times, you know, even with Tony and when I hosted the show, we tried to curate the show to also, to take advantage of the people that were actually on there. So, you know, we have Adam, who plays a lot more of the first person shooty type of games, you know,
bro shooters.
He considers himself the bro shooter, which is great. And, you know, we have different sites. Sorts of likes, which is great because you kind of don't want everybody to be all like, hey, that's the greatest game ever. You know, I'm like,
Well, the other thing too is I want to point out, like, we've kind of slimmed down the show and focused because, you know, as we've grown, when we first started, we talked about everything from tech to pop culture news to video game news. And eventually the workload just became enough that we had to kind of hone in on some things. But for instance, when we did everything, Brian was one of our resident movie guys. Like, he was a definite movie expert. And when you popped him in on those kinds of questions, he would dominate a conversation. So the show's taken a little bit of a turn away from some of the stuff that he specialized in, but it doesn't mean that the things that he does have to say, you know, aren't important. He kind of follows the motto of speak softly and carry a big stick. And you'll notice he usually comes in at the end of the conversation because he lets everybody else have their say. And then he comes in with, here's the things that we forgot. Like, it's a great kind of editorial wrap up. So while it sounds like it's just something on the tail end, he's still definitely adding to the conversation that's been in there. So, yeah, I mean, give the guy a break. When you've been doing this for a while, like it starts to honestly be a little intrusive. So he plays Warframe and he talks video games. I really just don't know what else you guys want.
Yeah, I just needed to get that out there because, you know, got to stick up for our peoples, man. And
well, especially like he's not taking anything away from the conversation.
He's not,
like,
that's what I'm saying, man.
What would we gain by having Brian not to the show? Like literally nothing. We would only lose things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, whenever
he says anything, it sounds like freaking magic.
Yeah, because of the accent.
It sounds like it kind of sounds like it comes from, like, you know, Lord of the Rings or some shit. So it's like,
yeah,
he's got that beautiful London accent.
And he's pretty good at racing games. The racing.
Yeah. By the way, now in the chat they're giving us props for the more focused shows. Thank you for that. You know, keep it up, our gaming men.
Right. See, I curse like a sailor, and Brian's there to counterbalance that and help keep us a little classy.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. By the way, Nate Manny to you. He goes, also, I don't know if you have one, Amelia, but I would love to see what kind of art you would turn out on an iPad Pro.
I don't have an iPad Pro, but I do. I have worked on the iPad Pro. My girlfriend has it. I mean, it'd have to be something. I'd have to play with a little bit more to see what things I can do. I mean, but was it Procreate is actually a really good program. And I've seen people just doing full books on that thing. So definitely would like to try it.
Yeah. And hold on. LogicWind says, he goes, I love the content. I just feel the videos were longer than needed to be. He's talking about the past shows. I purposely try to keep the shows to 1.5, 2 hours now because it's a balance, right? It's like, I want the older guys, because older fans love the big shows, right? But we can't be doing 3-hour, 4-hour podcasts every time. But at the same time, newer people are going to be intimidated by a monster show. So I think 2 hours is a good balance for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, we also got the timestamps. If you can't watch a show in its entirety, just pop over to wherever you want, you know.
Yep. And then also you can, you know, if you're on the go and you can't listen to the whole show live or on YouTube, you can always go to the SoundCloud and continue where you left off.
Yep. And iTunes as well. All right, man. You know, and with that, we're going to get to some questions. Again, we didn't get a lot this week because I'm assuming everyone's playing games. So
Game-geddon explosions.
All right, so let's start off with my man, G Megaforce 123, the sole survivor over at the Coalition. He's the only one at the Coalition that asks us questions now. It's pretty interesting how things have evolved, you know? All right, so his first question is, have you ever known someone who played awful games and enjoyed them? So this is to be the equivalent of a person that watches shitty movies and likes them because they're shitty.
Known somebody or a personality online that does that?
No, you know, personally know someone, not like, you know, angry gamer or anything like that. You know,
are we talking objectively shitty games? Because
yeah, objectively shitty. Objectively shitty. Yeah,
because Tony would say I play Fallout.
Yeah, I play Fallout 2, though, man. And I get platinums in Fallout. Fallout games are good. It's just buggy as fuck. But no, objectively bad games. Like, oh my God, this game's terrible. I need to play
it. Like playing Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde or Jason. What is it? The Friday the 13th game for Nintendo.
Oh, Carlos.
Hey, man, I love that game.
Hey, you know, here's the thing. To each his own. Because that's, you know, if you enjoyed the game and
But to answer your question, I don't know anyone that purposely plays objectively horrible games.
No, I don't know. I don't know anybody like that either. I could say that for movies. Like,
yeah.
Like Mark, you know, likes watching good movies, but just as much as that, he likes watching really fucking shitty movies. So,
I mean, some people would say almost every movie from the 80s action movie is pretty shitty, but it's not. They're just enjoyable to watch because that's movies that we grew up watching. I mean.
You know what it is because horrible. They're very in their own way, they're incredibly tongue in cheek. They know what the fuck they are.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Does anyone have a positive for this question? Because I don't.
I'm trying to think of what I think the problem lies maybe in the limitation of the medium, which makes me wonder if we're approaching this question wrong. Because generally, an objectively bad game is one that is unintuitive, buggy, and an unenjoyable experience. Like, there are very niche games that are like Tecmo's Deception. Like, does that count?
Like, no, I'm talking about, like, again, like, think of it as like
Tecmo's Deception would be the equivalent of a B horror movie. Like, if you're talking about like the Evil Dead, like,
it's no, I'm talking about a person like, that I'd like shit like Superman, you know, Superman on Superman 64 or ET, you know, type of shit.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Like, again, just think of it like as the movie equivalent of like, oh my God, this movie is so horrible. I have to watch it and I enjoy watching it because it's so shitty. Like, there's not a, you know, anyone that knows, you know, like that for video games.
Again, I can only name YouTubers like Critical and Angry Video Game Nerd and stuff like that. People who literally go out there to kind of use these kind of messed up games as like content or goofy content to play.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? You guys think that, for example, sports games are pretty shitty, but like me and Adam like to play them. So.
Yeah, but they're not objectively shitty.
And
that's like, what I'm saying. Like the most panned games, like don't, like okay, take the things that you like in bad comedies, like the campiness or bad horrors, like the campiness, the tongue in cheek, bad acting, bad story. Like I think we all like games that have some or all of those parts. But when you get to a point where it becomes clunky, unintuitive and almost unplayable, which is what hallmarks the worst of games. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes having trouble getting the game to work right. But there are games like Tecmo's Deception where it's just there's no real story. Like that is the Evil Dead of video games. There's not any real story. It's got hysterically bad voice acting. the stuff is all over the top and half the time it doesn't work right. Or even like Goat Simulator. Like, I know lots of people that play Goat Simulator because of the bugs, but I don't know that people would call that an objectively the worst game because they find it enjoyable.
And then the other thing about it is that it was purposely made to be kind of crappy.
Yeah, like they left knew all exactly, the bugs in.
Yeah, they left all the bugs in. They gave you ragdoll physics, which never work right. So it's like, yeah, what is, you know?
Yeah,
I don't even know if there's a video game equivalent of The Room. You know what I mean?
It's a good one.
Night Trap?
Night Trap.
Ooh, yeah, see, that would be one. It's like, hey, this game's bad, but I like it because it's bad.
Sewer Shark. If someone says they like Sewer Shark.
Are we saying, now we're just naming all the full motion video games.
Hey, those are pretty bad, though. There's
just a Double Switch in there. I mean, I liked Double Switch, but
really good.
That was a good one.
One of the Corys, yeah.
Corey Haim, and then it had, what's his face? It had a couple... Full Metal Jacket, the guy in Full Metal Jacket, Sergeant Pyle. Yeah, can't remember that guy's name.
Yeah, all right, man. Let's move on here. Fuck, am I? Oh, by the way, Daniel J, thank you for the $5, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Next question: which Nintendo villain deserves their own game? Man, I really wish they would have made a Wario video game. Oh wait, they have that.
Some people would say Bowser.
Bowser. Hasn't he had one, though? Kind of?
He's had a game called Bowser's Inside Story, but he wasn't the main character, Mario and Luigi.
Ah, okay.
Never made a Bowser video game.
Yeah, what about... Okay, Bowser's a good, answer, I really want to play... Yo, Wario was so good. Remember that? Wario Land on Game Boy? That game was awesome. Mm-hmm.
And they made those kind of kooky Wario, like...
WarioWare
games.
You know what I'd like to see? I like the Wario. I like the Bowser. My problem there is, like, you're kind of messing with the power structure. Like, if you're the top antagonist, like, you would, like, maybe pick missions to fuck with Mario or Peach, which could be fun. But I could also see something and think, like, a really dumbed-down version of the Nemesis system where, like, you are a Koopa. And so, like, you still have Bowser yelling at you. Bowser's still technically your antagonist. You're like a henchman and you're trying to work your way up through the henchman roles or do henchman jobs or things like that. Like, I'd like to see, the boots on the ground, like you're a shy guy or some Goomba. Shit like that. Yeah.
You're a Goomba.
Yeah. You don't want the Ganondorf game where you are Ganondorf trying to take over Hyrule.
I mean, while I think that would be fun, I think a henchman game would actually possibly be more fun. Main antagonist game, if it's an open world game, like a sandbox kind of game. Like, yeah, if you did like a Ganon game in the style of Breath of the Wild, sure. But if you're doing kind of like more of a narrated experience, I think a henchman, like if it were a Mario game, definitely henchman experience.
I mean, I definitely think a Bowser game could work that way. Cause I mean, all you would need to do is you have to create something worse, something even worse than Bowser that even he has to go against. It's like,
But then he would be the protagonist, wouldn't he?
He doesn't. I mean, it doesn't matter if he's the.
Oh, we're just talking about a character that's currently an antagonist.
It's just a villain that you want to see starred. That's it.
Okay. I was thinking along the lines of still playing the villain in the video game.
It doesn't matter if you're still playing the villain or a hero. You're
still a protagonist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I think you overthought the question. Anyway, Chris.
I tend to do that.
Yeah, Chris, what do you say, man?
Well, already in history, a villain has gotten a major franchise in Nintendo, and that's Donkey Kong.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But one I'd want to see is the space pirates from Metroid, like Ridley or someone like that, to see from that perspective, because these guys are so badass. Like, they went and killed Samus's parents. They go around taking over all these planets of it, you know?
Yeah, by the way, Miguel, Dr. Robotnik is not a Nintendo character, bro.
might as well be at this point.
Yeah, but hey, he wasn't Mean Bean Machine, though. Yes. All right, Carlos, what do you say? Nintendo villain that needs to get his own game.
I'll say Starwolf from Star Fox. I think it's interesting because he's kind of like the...
Like, he's kind of like Fox, but like the opposite, like the mean side, like the dark side. So like I would want to play a game with him doing missions for Andross and stuff like that, and doing like all these different mercenary missions. I think that would be pretty cool.
Cool.
I just want a good Star Fox game. That's all I really want.
Not that shitty one that came out on 3DS, right?
Star Wolf Returns.
All right.
Can I throw in a runner-up answer?
Sure.
Just for shits and giggles. Mario, even though it's already happened. Just because it's a good example to point out. Like, I don't know those of you that played Super Mario World, but Mario is a terrible person.
Yeah, he's always killing Yoshi and shit.
Dude, he's not only killing Yoshi, when he rides him, he kicks him in the hips to go. And to get him, like, if you ever really watch the animation, to get him to stick his tongue out, he punches Yoshi in the side of the head.
Yeah, he does.
By the way, Brett.
And Nintendo admitted it, too.
Nintendo admitted that. That was the original, like, intent, but then they kind of scaled it back a little bit. It's like, no, you're not actually punching him. You're telling him where to stick his tongue, but originally he was punching him in the back of the head.
Yeah, like, you jump on him, kick him in the kidneys to get him to go, punch him in the head to get him to eat stuff, and then abandon him into his doom for the sake of a simple double jump. Like, you are an asshole to Yoshi.
Yes.
By the way, this is like super insider, but I would say Beach Mario, because apparently, according to YouTube, if you post Beach Mario on your thumbnails, your videos will get demonetized.
So
you must be a villain.
Yeah. Damn. Man, hey, just keeping it honest. If you look, you know, I'll stop it anyway. Adam, go.
Red Biker from Excitebike.
Oh, shit. I like that.
Please, the evil red guy. I need to know his
backstory. Why is he so bitter? Why does he always have to cut me off? You know, it's like, and he's always number one. I never understood that. So I think it would be great to see, like, when he's doing his little arm raise, he just gets off and then he gets in his Mustang because he doesn't like bikes. He really likes his cars. And he drives off and then he goes to his, like, trailer and he drinks a lot and he has a backstory. And, you know, I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, you know, his woman's giving him shit at home. You know, his kids hate him. Like, there's some shit going on with this man, you know? Mm-hmm. All right, man. Next question's from Mr. Black Metal Gamer. So he goes, do you ever see, and let me finish this question, guys, because I already know some of you are going to jump in. Do you ever see digital games having an arcade download style option? For example, you download a game that is free, but you have to buy buy digital credits to play. And when you die, you put in money, like 50 cents to continue. Is this a bad idea or a great idea for a business in the far future? It's a terrible fucking idea. Could you imagine that shit? Like, you buy a mobile game and every time you die, you got to put in 50 cents to continue, like,
isn't
an arcade?
Is that what they already do?
No, they do it in different ways. Like, you keep dying and it's like, hey, here's a, you know, for a dollar, we'll give you this. So it's a little bit of reverse, but I think, you know, flat out telling people, no, put in more money if you want to continue. That'll piss them off. So you can't do that, you know?
Yeah. You know, microtransactions are already that. Microtransactions of free games are already that. Also, I want to point out, and I know, let me go here a second. Part of the reason that you put quarters into those machines is somebody had to cover the cost of buying and maintaining those machines.
Yes.
So it's not like, you know, digitally where you just be throwing money, or like none of this is overhead, this is all just straight pulling money out of my pocket for no good reason. At least when you were feeding quarters into a machine, you knew that, like, oh, like, you know, they're going to keep this machine most likely repaired, this machine's going to stay around if I play it more, they have to cover the cost of buying this machine, you know. It was like the pizza place had to, you know, if nobody played in their arcade, it was going to go away, and you recognize that even as a kid.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the one thing about it is that those arcade machines were made to squeeze money out of you. Even the arcade holders, you know, had the ability to adjust the difficulty of the games to get more quarters out of you.
Yeah, but it was a balance, too, because if they made it too difficult, people wouldn't play. If they made it too easy, people wouldn't put as many quarters. So it was always a balance. So if you went to different arcades, you would notice that the games would actually be a little bit more, like, the difficulty would be different depending what arcade you went to, because each arcade owner had the ability to go in there and manually adjust things, you know? It's pretty interesting. Yeah, like Brett said, we knew what that money was going for, to maintain the machine and, you know, to pay off for the machine. So with this shit, it's like, wait, this is digital. What the fuck am I funding here, you know? So that shit would not fly, no fucking way, you know.
By the way, how much does it cost for arcades here, like, for one
arcade cabinet? That's a good question,
because when I went to Japan,
$1,500.
Yeah, it's like $1,500 to $1,000, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Like I'm saying, when like for example, you die and you want to play again, right?
Oh shit, my answer would be like 15 years old. To be honest, it depended on the game. Most games are 25 cents, but like the bigger games were always 50 cents. Yeah, or a dollar. Yeah, especially if you could like drive around in them and shit. Yeah, there'd be a dollar. Yeah, but typically 25 cents.
Yeah, because when I went to Japan, like all of them were a dollar. And I'm like, man, this shit's mad expensive.
Yeah, shit. Damn.
Yeah, so I was thinking like, damn, like imagine a dollar. Like they make $1 million just out of this party from Cuphead alone.
Yeah, right. That is crazy. Imagine that if Cuphead had that shit. That'd be crazy. All right. By the way, so I'm guessing no money thinks this is a good idea, right, in the panel?
No.
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah, terrible. All right, so let's move on to the next question. All right. And I had to ask him for clarification because I wasn't sure what he meant by this, and he explained it. So he goes, what companies do you think will get into mainstream gaming in the far future, or will it always be Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony? Basically saying, do you see Apple or Google or whatever coming out with their own home console, or is it always just going to be Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft?
I mean, in a way, Amazon is kind of going in that direction, but really.
Yeah.
Because they already own a few game studios, and they have a game development tool, an internal game development tool. Now, I don't think it's going to show up as a console. I think it's just going to be something that already exists in that space. So it could be whatever the Amazon, whatever unit that they use or something that's online. So it's already going to be something that it already exists. And I think that's the type of things that you're going to see from all these other companies. I don't think more companies are going to make consoles. I think they're just going to use the things that they already have and, you know, allow you to put them on a TV. Like, you can play Apple games on your television. If you have Apple TV, you can play a lot of those iOS games. So
yeah, so it's just the fact that whether they get GTA 3 on that Apple TV or not.
Yeah.
So you don't see Philips CDI getting back in there, man.
No, they learned their lessons.
Philips Magnavox, you know, all that shit.
Philips Magnavox. I mean, some of those companies don't even exist anymore.
That's true. Yeah.
Gold Star is now LG. If you didn't know that.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
They changed their name. Well, it actually was that name, but they went to using the, you know, it was like Lee's Gold Star or whatever the fuck the first part of it was.
Lucky Gold Star.
Lucky Gold Star. They pretty much changed it to that abbreviation because of the shitty products that they used to make, and they had a bad reputation. So they rebranded themselves so that you would think that they make, you know, I mean, they make much better products than they did in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, but yeah, I honestly don't see anybody else getting into the, you know, console space, man. I really don't.
It's a difficult, to be honest. It's a difficult thing. I mean, to be honest, like Sony even doing that shit in the 90s, man, that was some crazy stuff right there.
Yeah,
But you notice how and why they did it. I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent, real short one. I think we are stuck in this cycle for the time being with no real room in the market to grow because nobody's really doing anything different. We're all working off of very standardized hardware on an effort to lower market costs or production cost. I think the thing that might change that is, like, for instance, we've just kind of gotten to this lull. Like, we're assuming that we're just going to move on to digital or Blu-ray for everything forever. But there will probably be some form of hardware advancement, some proprietary technology that somebody sells to somebody. And that's, remember how Sony really kind of opened the market, is they were kind of pioneering disc-based technology, and they were the first ones to put a DVD player into a game system. So I think that there's a good chance in the future that if somebody comes out with, you know, a way to transfer data faster or some kind of new disk layout or something that, you know, doesn't have 5-minute fucking long load times, because let's be honest here, like, even Blu-ray, as awesome as it is, it has its limitations. And I don't know if I'm the only one starting to notice, but I definitely fucking notice when a game is taking forever to load.
Well, the thing is that for Blu-ray, nothing is running directly off the Blu-rays anymore. No, it's all getting installed.
And that's what I'm saying. Somebody, I think, will find a better way, and maybe it'll be a new kind of hard drive, or a specialized solid-state drive with more channels or something like that. But my point is, it'll probably be some hardware change that they have a patent on and that will be proprietary, and that would allow them to enter the gaming space, because they'd be able to offer a system with no load times. I mean, think about it right now. Like, if Sega partnered with Alienware or some shit, and they were going to come out with this console, but they had this proprietary technology that completely, you know, it had all the storage space of a Blu-ray, but it had the loading quickness of a cartridge and absolutely no load times, instant save, you know, super stable, easy to design for, like something other companies could not just come out and do. You'd have it in the very same position that Sony was when they came out.
No, the difference is, what games would they offer? Sony had games to offer. It wasn't just about the technology, you know?
Start with the technology and then make... And that's why I said if they partnered with Sega, because you would have to get somebody that you want to take what Atari's doing, but not do it in a retarded way. Like, I know you wouldn't be able to get the Sega guys back, but it is still a widely known name. And they still hold, I'm pretty sure, IPs or rights to some of their original IPs. And so you come out and you quote unquote partner with Sega just to be able to use their name and attract other people to the platform. And essentially you have a few first party games and a bunch of third party games. I'm saying it's doable. It's doable. And I think if you look long enough into the future, something will change. A new company will emerge, and they will emerge based on some differentiated hardware specs that they hold the rights to and other people can't do. I mean, it's the same way Cintiq pretty much dominated the drawing market or the tablet market for a long time, because they held a patent on the way their pens worked, and nobody could use it. And everybody was trying to figure out this Entrig technology. And I'll be honest, Entrig still sucks as a digitizer. It comes nowhere close to Cintiq stuff. Finally, Microsoft like leased out the technology from them to make the Surface Pro, and Apple figured out some magic way to make the iPad Pro work. But it's been 15 years of everybody having to work around and Wacom dominating the market because they had a patent on this thing. It's just a matter of time before somebody comes out with some technological advancement. And if it is able to be adopted by gaming, you can fucking bet your last dollar that one of the game companies is going to try and put that shit on lockdown.
Well, I mean, Sony back in the old days used to do their own proprietary graphics systems and stuff like that. They didn't before, you know, like you would want to talk about like stuff like, you know, like that idea what you're talking about, that's the original cell processor for the PlayStation 3. That's also the, you know, the design of the original Emotion Engine, where Sony and, you know, the guy who created the PlayStation, where he wanted to kind of create these, almost create like CGI type graphics on the console. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yes, it does maybe take something like that, but also I think, again, it's also a very tough room as far as consoles go for somebody to get. I mean, like, you know, even Steam tried to get into that sort of idea, and they couldn't even make it work because they didn't want to commit to creating specific hardware. They left it to other people and licensed the tech to, you know, the idea to other people. Rather than actually, they essentially tried to pull a 3DO. The 3DO idea was that they were licensing the 3DO graphics and tech to other companies so that they would produce the things, rather than actually 3DO producing the things entirely. Granted, you know, because these other companies are paying the manufacturing costs, that's how they kind of squeeze through. But I feel like, again, it might be incredibly tough for a new guy to come in there and be like, hey, console bitches.
Yeah, I really don't see another console coming in unless one of the ones
that are around. Unless Sega.
Unless one of the ones that are around now is gone. If there's only two consoles, then you could have time. And I'm going to be honest, I'm going to get in trouble for this. If any of the consoles that are around now are going to die, probably going to be Xbox first, because there's not much of a difference between PS4 and Xbox, except PS4 has more games, more exclusives. So if one of them is going to go, it's probably going to be Xbox. And then if you only have PlayStation and Nintendo, then somebody could come in with something. But there's
I also feel like...
Brett, go.
Oh, I was just saying, Microsoft is immortal. It may shed its physical Xbox spirit, but it will always exist in the cloud as Microsoft.
It shed its skin like a snake.
I also feel like for at least for the Microsoft world, their Xbox division, and you can even see it now, it's very much close to the PC division, you know, as far as the gaming side goes.
I like what you're doing with your hands there.
This going together like that.
Yes.
So, you know, like they're even more, because with Mr. Spencer, you know, being essentially the master, the king of games at the Microsoft division, I could see them if the Xbox doesn't do well for them, I can see them folding that back into the Windows world, and Xbox may end up not existing, but a version of that might continue. Like, in other words, we may not see an Xbox, but that doesn't mean that Windows, you know, or you know, that Microsoft would create something essentially the Windows box. You know?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Windows.
Yeah, you couldn't kill Microsoft. Let me pose this hypothetical to you though. Like, if we're talking long scale, let's say 25 to 30 years from now, they come out with the first quantum processor, and the difference being that a quantum computer can work not just in binary ones and zeros, but also work in twos. Hyperimposition, I believe it's called, making it like exponentially more powerful. Now you have one computer company who figures out how to make a quantum processor. They are sure as shit going to patent the fuck out of that, so nobody else can use it unless they figure it out themselves. And even then, probably with a different method than the original company came up, a la how Wacom did it. Now, are you telling me that one of the three or two major gaming companies who are heading the multi-billion dollar industry at that time are not going to shell over just truckloads of money for the exclusive rights to that quantum processor and the resulting console would probably not be head and shoulders above the competition? I mean,
yeah,
that might
yeah,
be
no,
something
I,
that...
Yeah, I see,
so
what, much, I see what you're saying, but I'm
so
talking about
so
just...
Even a non-game company with so much revenue like Microsoft did, you know, a PC company would be like, you know what? We already own the rights to this, you know? That would be the kind of thing where AMD is like, fuck it, we're just going to make a console. We're not going to sell this to anybody. We're just going to make our own console and kill the console field. Like, yeah, and that's where I see it happening. Whichever of the big computer companies makes that first breakthrough first, I bet you they're the ones that come out with their own system.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else have any other answers? I want to move on to something else.
I would say that the PC would do it before any of those, but I digress.
Oh, no. The PC absolutely would. But I think it'd be one PC company, and then does it trickle down into consoles? Do they never give it to consoles?
Well, here it goes back to the who from the big companies would do it. I think Microsoft, because the Xbox platform is on PC. So technically, Xbox games would get to.
Yeah, but I think it'd be AMD or Intel, because Microsoft doesn't work with hardware really that much.
I don't know. I'm saying like from like Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft. Like the only platform that would utilize that first would be Microsoft and Xbox, because they're the ones that are on PC, unlike Sony and Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. That'd be a good point. Yeah. Anyway.
Let's do this, man. Next question from New Sunrise, which is not a familiar name to me. So welcome.
It's New Sunrise, dude.
Very cool. All right. So his question is a little bit of a long one. I have been, who threw us money? Thank you for that. Carlos, give him a shout out when I finish this question. I have been thinking about how Doom only runs at 720p, 30 frames per second on Switch, but runs at 1080p, 60 frames on PS4. I suppose this is because of the Switch's lack of power compared to PS4. But with games like Prey, which is a game I would like on Switch that doesn't run more than 1080p 30 on PS4, how do you think that would run on Switch? My biggest concern is it wouldn't run well enough to get released. This makes me concerned about third-party support for the Switch going forward. So the question is, do you think third-party could disappear from Switch because of the lack of power?
I feel like no. At this point, I mean, here's the thing. If these companies see this as a worth it venture, they will make it work. And it seems that a lot of people are buying Switches now, and people seem to, people are buying a lot of the third party games. And I think the Bethesda dipping their toe into it is a sign of that. And I mean, I'm hopefully that these games that they release on there do well for them, so that it means that more people will decide to make kind of, you know, Switch specialized versions of these sorts of games. Prey, I mean, you want to play Prey on there, but I mean, the thing is that, you know, you got to understand, it's like, also these sorts of things have to be optimized. Whatever engine that Prey is using, can they make that work for something like a Switch architecture? We don't know.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest question, because this is, you know, the Prey engine and a lot of the other bigger engines are all made for these really heavy, you know, for these specific things. Can that run on a thing? I mean, they've already proven that Unreal already works on there, right? Doesn't Unreal?
Yeah, Unreal runs on Switch, yeah.
Unreal works on there. You know, I mean, obviously they would have to keep that sort of stuff in mind when developing. And I'm saying that, you know, from what they say with Bethesda, you know, Doom and you know, the other game that's coming out on there, Wolfenstein, they work well. They work, you know, they're not as flashy and pretty as the you know, the PlayStation or the Xbox ones, or obviously the PC one, but they managed to get these things work.
Yeah, I have my answer, but I want to hear Chris's first before that. Go ahead, Chris. What do you say?
It's going to depend really on the game title, but in terms of power is not going to be the reason that third parties either invest or divest from the Switch. It's going to be return on investment. Like, always remember that it's always about money at the end of the day. So if they can make sales, even if the game is compromised on the Switch for any amount, like if it's only running at half the frame rate or at a much lower resolution, if the game still does well, if there's interest in it and people buy it, then they will continue to make games, and there will be more guys who will be like, okay, we can, you know, retool it and make some compromises and put it on there, and it sells. So that's really, at the end of the day, what it is. It's about power. Exactly. See, that's where Microsoft got it backwards this time around. Like, they have a really powerful system, but they have no titles for it. And, you know, Xbox One kind of barren right now. They have to support it. So with that, so always remember that, like, it's always about the quality of the game, and not just about the fidelity or frame rate, right? That's not the real factor. The real factor is it a good game? And if it is, even if it's compromised, if it will do well on the system, then they don't care about that other stuff.
Yeah, it kind of took my answer. But yeah, it's basically third party will be on Switch as long as it's making the money. The thing I want to bring up, right, because a lot of people just assume third party means multiplat. No, it doesn't. You can still have a lot of third-party support without it being multiplied games. Look at the Rabbids game that just came out. That's only on Switch, but that's a third-party game, right? So expect shit like that, especially if the system is going to keep doing well. It's doing well right now. We don't know what's going to happen next year, but definitely doing well right now. So as long as it keeps making money, you're going to see third-party support. Think about it. The Wii had third-party support. It was shit, but it still had third-party support, you know? So it's going to keep going.
In terms of multiplat too, like, I understand there is definitely the potential for games to be dumbed down. I caution people to think and remember that they may not get dumbed down to the point of unplayability. And I'll use Doom as an example. Doom was highly optimized for what it was. It didn't rely too heavily on certain lighting tricks or certain textures. when I played it on the PlayStation, I was actually a little surprised by how little texture there was. Like it seemed a little bit more cartoony than gritty. You know, especially if you compare it to games like The Last of Us, which, you know, have a lot of little details spattered about. Now, I understood as I was playing it that was to keep a fast and frantic gameplay with, 60 frames per second. Now, if you focus on making games like Doom that run at 60 frames per second on your PS4, you should be able to put those on Switch at 30 frames per second. So we might see people actually now focus on optimizing their code and not making their game bloated. So you may see actually a slight drop in graphical fidelity of multiplat games, but you would also see an increase in frame rates. It may become the new standard that we expect all PS4 games to be 60 frames per second because they're also going to put them on Switch, you know, for 30 frames per second.
I also think that then this goes back to id Software, back to the original Doom, and what they wanted to make sure that thing, no matter what it ran on, it ran, and it ran well. And this game, you know, just by that same mantra, you know, they made sure that Doom runs exactly as it does on everything else in the same way. So I definitely see, you know, granted, they've been saying it's a 30 frame per second game night right now, but I'm sure they'll have some sort of way to kind of make it, you know, work. And, here's the thing. Every game on, you just got to realize this. On the Switch, every game is pretty much compromised. I mean, Mario, the new Mario game is compromised, you know, and hasn't been any other version. But they did these things to keep the fidelity, you know, keep the frame rate and all these other factors in, you know, so that it gave you a specific sort of experience. And I definitely think that, again, if these companies, which Chris said, and which everybody's, you know, so far said, that if these, you know, companies deem it as a worthwhile venture, if they could get the money back from what they paid to put these games on there, I definitely think that they'll make those sorts of, you know, changes and fixes and things to make these things work.
Well, it's just like we've seen in previous generations, and I'm going to say this in very harsh words, so hear me out, give me a chance here, people. They will dumb down all multiplat games to accommodate the lowest common denominator, which is Nintendo in this case. And while that may make everybody want to go be like, they're gonna take my games away, they're going to make them terrible, like, no, that's not necessarily what it means. The way that they're going to sell it to you is that this multiplat game runs in 60 frames per second on the PlayStation, and you're going to go, okay, I like 60 frames per second, because there's no way to really gauge the amount of textures or lighting effects or whatnot that you have. So they'll make it so that, okay, so will this game run on the Switch? Yes. Does that leave us a little wiggle room? Sure. So we can crank it up to 60 frames per second on the Xbox and the PlayStation. That way, when they advertise it, everybody's happy. The Switch gets a version that is at least standard and playable, and both the other ones get highly upgraded 60 frames per second version, and consumers will eat it the fuck up. And so it's a matter of perception. Like, they will dumb down mainstream multiplat games, but also they won't really dumb them down if you're looking for FPS over graphical fidelity. Like, if you were happy with Doom because it played smooth, even though it looked a little cartoony, and, you know, which is what I would say probably is the opposite of, like, a lot of like the new Assassin's Creed game, from what I'm hearing, is it's beautiful. It chugs a little bit. You can feel the system kind of groaning at points, but it's absolutely gorgeous. It really depends on your liking graphical fidelity or fluid gameplay. And for those people who want to hype fluid gameplay, which is a much easier thing to kind of put a number order on, you can't be like, this game is this impressive, you know, it has this many pixels, or it is, you know, this many textures. You can't really say that, but you can say it has 60 frames per second, and boom, that's a bullet point you can put on the front of the box. So I think that's how the whole industry is going to shift. If the Switch is successful, all the developers will kind of shift towards, we're doing 60 frame per second games so that they can dumb them down to 30 frames and put them on the Switch and make more money. I guarantee you that's how it'll go.
All right. Hello, Brian. Jumping in right now. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, thanks. What's up, guys?
Not much. Did you guys have, like, your time change in England already?
Yeah, why?
Okay, that explains why you're exactly an hour late. That's funny.
Farmers, man. God damn it.
Yeah, always the farmers. All right, man. So let's move on to the next question here. Mr. Joel Torres. His first one is, why do you think it's easier for... this is kind of a little bit loaded. Why do you think it's easier for Microsoft to make new hardware rather than make new games?
Is it easier?
That's what I mean. Loaded question. So I think he's saying, how come Microsoft puts out more hardware than games? You know, what the fuck, Brett? Is that you making that noise?
What noise?
It was. It sounds like I don't know. Every time like I hear that noise, your thing pops up.
Was it me drinking a Red Bull?
Maybe. I don't know. No, not that. I don't know how to explain the sound. Yeah. It sounds something like that. Yeah. Because I'm trying to read the question. I have to stop because I'm hearing this fucking noise, you know? Next time it happens, I'll point it out. There it is. That was it right there. All right. Anyway, so yeah. Yes, there you go. That's it right there.
Well, you guys can hear every time I touch my headphones.
Yep. Okay, yeah, that's the sound. It's been happening like for the last month or so, you know? So you'll
need to get some new headphones. Headphones are sensitive, son.
Yeah, there's a sensitive.
Dude, I'm not even touching the microphone. I'm touching the earpiece.
Brett's going to get transmissions from Mars with those things. Maybe he's less sensitive.
Can you hear if I touch the headband?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, man. All right. So, because, you know, Microsoft's putting out a new system, got a bunch of controllers out there. So he's just wondering, how come they're not putting out any new games? Well, again, loaded question.
you realize it is actually a lot easier to design hardware than it is. It takes a lot shorter time to design the hardware than it actually takes to do a game.
That is true.
You do realize this. So
if you're designing off-the-shelf hardware.
Well, yeah, that's what Microsoft is pretty much doing, right? They're using a lot of off-the-shelf hardware.
That's just my jab at Microsoft. They're not really innovating hardware, so it's not
No one's talking about innovation, though. No one's talking about innovation.
We're not talking about innovation, but yeah, to be honest, if you're using off-the-shelf hardware and it has a...
The original Xbox was off-the-shelf hardware. The current Xbox One X, they had to design a special board that has integrated RAM, and keep the bus speeds high. Also, AMD is making them SoCs for all of these systems, right? So they're customized. Like original Xbox, yeah, that was like a PC just put together, but not this one is designed. And when you design hardware, you scope things way out. Right, way ahead of time, because fabs have to be made and whatever. You can't screw that up. There's no feature creep in that. Once you agree and hands are shaked and money is transferred, that's it.
Whatever. So you would say that they started maybe designing this one. How long ago? I mean, you know, ballpark.
Probably probably just like I would say within the year the Xbox One was released. They already, if not before that.
Fucking Sony pony.
So that, what is that, like four years, five years, right?
Yeah, because see, with software, you can have all sorts of issues. You can have teams change, people come in, there's feature creep, the suits come in, they say, we don't like single player anymore, or we need more multi, you know, all this shit. We want microtransactions, chop it up a DLC. Hardware, you can't do any of that.
Yeah, So essentially what it is about the factor is that you know, again, you know, I've said this before too, that video game design is incredibly nebulous, and there's a good chance that some games will not happen, or games will just be end up a different way. And not to mention that Mr. Spencer did cancel quite a bit of games before they were going to be done. He was cleaning
the
house
on the Fable studio. I think you had a good theory about what happened to the Dragon game. The Platinum one.
They said one of the things that they said, and this is a quote from Shinji Mikami, or the guy who not Shinji Mikami, the Kamiya, Hideki Kamiya, the game near saved their studio. Microsoft fucked them over so badly after canceling that game that shit saved their that near saved their studio. So,
damn. So you they nearly went under.
They nearly went under, but yeah, like I definitely it's good to know. You have to have these things solidified before you start to manufacture. And I didn't remember that the board and stuff were all custom builds for the new Xbox X.
So with Microsoft, I would love to be a fly on the wall because I don't know why he shuttered Fable. Like, from everything we heard, Fable was like really close to being done. It was like 95% done or something like that. Really close to being finished and canceled it, closed the studio. That's done.
Scalebound. Are we talking about this latest one?
Yeah, the latest Fable. Fable,
because it was shit.
Well, we will never know.
I can tell you exactly what happened with that. The suits got to that fucking game. They're like, you know what would be fun if we made it a... You know what's really interesting right now? People like team-based games, like a 3-on-1 kind of mode. So we want you to build a game completely around that. Like, the suits got in the fucking way, and the game turned out horribly. I guarantee it.
Okay. Well, to my point, this is what happens with software. This is the stuff that doesn't happen with hardware design, is... Suits can come in and make all sorts of wacky decisions based on like their gut feeling and not any research or asking people or asking competent people or creative people what they think, and you end up with that, and then you get games canceled. So I don't know if this executive role that Spencer now has in Microsoft will aid that or prevent that from happening. I don't know. I just know that he had a perfect storm of that bullshit that Brett just mentioned happen, you know, all in a row. And I don't know, well, Crackdown, I don't know how that ended up looking like, and then it had to go back to formula.
An analog I want to bring up to people is, it is much easier to craft than to make art. It is easier to bake a recipe than to make a recipe. There's a lot of experimentation that comes with art. There's not a good right answer. And that's one of the most frustrating things when people ask you to draw something is, you know, I long some days for a job where there's a clear and defined right answer, something with mathematical proof or certainty of it works in a measurable state and I can get feedback on it other than subjective or, I like it. So you can put millions of dollars into a game like Project Titan and have it run by incredibly successful people and do put nothing but love and talent into it, and it does not come out, and it ends up being a huge loss of revenue. Whereas when you're dealing with something mathematical and physical like engineering, there is a certainty, there are calculations that you can do, there are prototypes that you can build, you can measure these things and you get specs back on them and you test higher on your specs and you know that you've made a better product. So there, while there is R&D, you also actually come back with what you know to be the most powerful chip on the market, not what you believe to be the best game on the market. Because you can believe that your game is the best on the market and release it, but other people may not see it that way. And there's no numbers to point to. There's no tests to do that prove this kind of thing because you're talking about art. So there is a lot more risk involved with creating art than there is in crafting or manufacturing something. Even if you're trying to push the boundaries, even if you're trying to make the fastest car that's ever driven, it's going to be way easier than making the most attractive car that's ever been seen.
It's exactly why the same, like creating the same movie over and over and over again doesn't exactly work all the time. As people's tastes change, you know, whatever happens at the team level, stuff like that. So it's, you know, there for one, like for one, once at one point, yes, this thing might have worked. But, you know, when you start to repeat it again, then you kind of have to redo it, go back to formulas.
Also, you don't have people coming in, hold on. Fucking trucks. You don't have people again coming in trying to put a giant spider into your processor. For those of you who don't know what I mean, it's the old spider that they wanted to put into Spider-Man or into Superman that ended up in Wild Wild West. It's the idea of somebody's got a jackass idea and they're just going to shove it down the pipes and just shit on a creative until finally the creatives are like, fine, I'll do it, even though they have no idea what they're talking about. That doesn't happen with hardware. It's not like it's not like a suit comes in and goes, you know what? I think we should actually offload most of the process onto the RAM. And the engineers go, okay, I mean, I guess we can build it that way if you want. It's not really going to work, because they can point to numbers and say, that's not going to work. So they care more about results. So you have like less suits getting in the way and less bad ideas that can get mixed in with
something technical than something creative. I could go on for hours about why creating technical things are much easier than creating creative things, but I think I've made my point, and I'm pretty sure Manny would agree with me on most of this.
Listen, both you guys make art, okay? Just make art.
There is no, I mean, and Chris can kind of test this. I always say whenever there is no right way to art. The one thing about art, you know, art in general, is that each person kind of comes up with their own solution to art, but there is no right solution. Just like if any of you have used Photoshop, there's 100 different ways to do the same damn thing. You just have to kind of choose one.
Exactly. With engineering, there's right and wrong answers. If I know I have like so many transistors on a board and it can push so many operations per second, and I go teraflops now, you know, then there's only one way to do it. You got to shrink the die. You got to make a whole new manufacturing process, do ultraviolet lithography and all this stuff and figure it out. But there's a process, you know. That's it. There's only one way to do that until somebody makes a quantum.
Oh, God help us when that happens, man.
Yeah. Quantum brainwave.
you think computers are unstable now. Wait for the first generation of quantum computers. We're like, what the fuck? Why did I blue screen? Because somebody in the house next door to you farted, and it fucked with the timeline fluctuation. Apparently there was some kind of electron entangled in his fart molecule that's in your cell processor, and now it just shit the better. You know, why did I just blue screen? Because somebody in China saw a butterfly. What the fuck?
All right, man, let's move on here. Next question from Mr. Joel. All right, what do you guys think would have happened if Rockstar's hot coffee was put into GTA 5? Brian, I want you to answer this first.
Would have been more.
Well, somehow
GTA 5... But Brian never adds anything.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, somehow GTA 5 would have sold more copies of the game if that had happened. I don't know how that's possible. It's just the way that things are. Like, if we've sold like 100 million by now.
Well, you know how. But the thing is that you know how Rockstar works. They like that controversy shit. They Rockstar use that. Rockstar
doesn't
shit.
Give a fuck, man. They really don't.
They don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Adam, what were you gonna say, man?
Yeah. No. They knew though that was going a little bit too far, which is why it didn't get into the final product. Totally. Yeah. But
even though in GTA 4 you can still get head and fuck bitches in the car, and you can see it.
They really knew they were pushing it. I mean, even now in GTA 5 it's there, but you know, people have moved on and the media doesn't give a shit about that. There's other things that they can attack, so they don't bring it up.
You don't have a crazy fucking asshole complaining about it.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Jack Trenton, right? Remember?
I think
Jack Trenton.
Jack, yeah. Yeah, go ahead. No, Jack Thompson, you're talking about. But the thing is, with today's climate, it's interesting because with today's climate, obviously, there would be huge controversy. Think pieces all over the place. But at the same time, Rockstar wouldn't give a fuck.
You know? Okay, Rockstar always courts. And here's the thing that I've noticed. Rockstar always courts this kind of homogenized controversy, right? Like, they never really touch on a whole lot of political issues. They touch on social issues and human right issues that are generally agreed upon. So, like, yes, like, you can beat a hooker to death in GTA, but there's no race or class or anything associated with that other than, oh my God, the morality. And that's the things they key in on. Oh my God, the morality of stealing a car, the morality of beating a hooker to death, the morality of selling drugs. But it's never politicized, which keeps them segregated. So, of course, they're going to have the fundies always riled the fuck up. Like, oh, well, you can get head in the back of a car, but they're not really treading the dangerous ground that's going to anger social justice warriors. Like, the only thing, like, in GTA that's going to, like, upset most social justice warriors is the fact that why are there no transgender hookers to beat to death? Like, that's the kind of thing, like, you may see exclusion or that kind of thing, but we don't really court, like, hot button controversy. They've never been like, well, here's a positive look on the KKK. They're never like, no, Trevor's an unapologetic sociopathic asshole who just murders everybody with no regard to who they are. He just hates everybody. And it kind of goes that way with all of them. Like, their characters may be bitter, but they're bitter towards everybody. The Ballad of Gay Tony was the closest thing. And let's be honest, 90% of people are okay with that kind of story. Even at the time, like, I knew a couple people that were like, I ain't going to play that game because I don't really want to play a gay guy. But that was the worst that I had heard.
They and, like, and the protagonist, the made. Protagonist isn't even gay.
Yeah, I know.
Like, he wasn't gay.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. And so that's the thing is, like, they were just kind of like, well, you know, I can't see put myself in the shoes of a gay guy. But it's like, it's not a story about a gay guy. But okay, fine. Like, whatever. That while it's ignorant, is not hatefully ignorant. I didn't see many people being like, well, I can't believe that's a story that they would make. Like, that's not a thing that I saw. I saw more disinterest and apathy than outright rage. So I don't think GTA is ever like, I don't think they'd make a Black Lives Matter comment, but like the hot coffee thing is like, oh no, we accidentally put titties in a video game.
Well, fucking in a video
game. That's rated M for mature.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, you know, the other thing about it though is that I also think that they take pot shots at everybody.
Yeah, they do.
They almost go by the South Park way of thinking, where it's like, yeah, sure, we're making fun of this bunch of people, but we're also making fun of this bunch of people and how absurd they are, and those people as well as this, because they're trying to, as you said, social commentary and the absurdity of our culture in general. You know,
Life Invader.
Yeah, yeah, they don't single people out, and that's the thing. Like, it's, and that's why I say, like, It's this very safe controversy. Like, yeah, it's going to upset people on, like, well, how dare you make a game that you can do these things? And the fundies are going to get their panties in a knot, but they're always going to get their fucking panties in a knot. And that just makes for good press. But you're not going to see like a pro Trump thing in the next GTA.
No, but they'll make, you know, they'll do like they did before, where they made fun of both candidates. They made fun of Hillary Clinton. They also made fun of, you know, other people too.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Yeah, so exactly. They're not taking a hard stance on anything. They're just being controversial towards everything, which is a winning. It's a winning way to go, man. Like, it's what they've always done, and it's how they're always going to do it. My only point is, like, while they seem controversial on the surface, like, yes, they love to court controversy, but the safe kind. So, like, I don't think any of us need to worry.
I didn't think about that, but you're actually right about that. Because if you just throw bombs at everybody, no one specific group could get mad at you. Everybody's mad at you.
And then the other thing is that there is genuine repercussions for doing things that are, doing things against the law. You rob a bank, the police come after you. You steal a car, if the police see you, they come after you. Yeah. You know, there are definite lines, you know?
Yeah, for sure. All right, man.
You kill someone on the street.
Yeah, the cops come after you. Yeah, exactly. All right. Anybody else have any answer to this?
I just want to add to what Mandy said is, I think that it's so cool that when everybody got cell phones, the game changed to, if somebody on the street sees you commit an act, they'll pull out their cell phone and call the cops.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. I didn't think about it, but you're right. Safe controversy. All right. Next up here, Mr. Hashling and Slasher, who has adopted his original name again. All right.
Welcome back.
So his question is Mario Odyssey a system seller? If I were to get a Switch for solely one game, would Mario be worthy of that?
How are you asking? Well, I can't ask you this, but like,
I'll just break it down. Yeah, because here's the thing. I think he is asking, do you personally think it's a system seller? Because objectively speaking, I don't think anybody in this room is going to say it's not a system seller. It fucking is, you know?
It will sell systems, therefore it is a system seller.
So let's take it to the more interesting one, and I think this is what he means. Do you personally think it's a system? Like a game worthy of buying? Like if you buy a Switch, you need to have this game. You know?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I would. I thought about buying a Switch because of Mario Galaxy. Oh, yeah.
Now, perfect, Manny. Let me ask you this question, though. Is it also because of the rest of the library? Because I've noticed a lot of people, this seems to be the final piece of the puzzle. They're like, Breath of the Wild made me think about it. Now Mario's on it, and that kind of pushes me over. Yeah, but
the question is specifically for Mario, though. Let's just keep it there. You
it's
know?
Not a Mario game.
Huh?
I don't think that's a Mario game. Man. How is it a Mario game? I did not like it. I did not like it. It just didn't feel right.
Did you play Mario Galaxy or Mario...
Mario Galaxy 1 and 2. I didn't like that either. I didn't like them either.
Adam, so you wouldn't recommend it then?
I would not. I recommend something else. There's other things you can play in this.
Well, here's the thing. You don't have that history with those games, I feel like.
It's the quintessential Mario game. Like, what Mario does...
Super Mario Brothers is. Super Mario Brothers 2, to me, is a Mario.
You would be the sort of person that would play the new Super Mario games, which are very much like the original game.
The ones that have new in the title.
The ones that are called new Super Mario.
Yeah, so like... Yeah, like what Mario does is that it implements a different feature or aspect to the game, like a new dimension to the game.
I didn't even like the 3D version they did for 3DS.
Okay, well, Adam, you can't say I think this game strays away from what it is because it isn't the same game
five iterations ago. What do you mean? What I'm saying is that I don't count it as a system seller. That's the question.
You don't count it as a Mario game.
For me, yeah, for me. Again,
it is the same game the last five Mario games have been, though.
No, it hasn't. Super Mario Brothers 2, when they redid that one, it was a completely different one.
But Super Mario Brothers was part of a mainline franchise. It splintered off into side project games, but of the mainline franchise games, that game style died when the Super Nintendo 64 came out. So if we're talking essentially what is canon mainline games, Super Mario 64 like that was the true successor.
You don't like
that one
either. Okay, he didn't like.
Well, it doesn't matter if you like it. It's still a Mario game.
Like, yeah, this is how Mario's been for 20 years, man.
I'm just honest though. That's it. I didn't.
We get it. Like you don't like it. I mean, it doesn't mean that
Hey, this came out. Should I go buy this console now to get this? I'm like, I didn't like it. This is why.
We're talking about two different things. We're arguing the fact that it is in fact a Mario game.
For you, I don't know. It didn't feel right. I didn't like it.
No, hold on.
Because we're going in circles now.
This will be conclusive. Is it Mario in the title? Does Nintendo make it? It's a Mario.
They did that with part two also, and we already
it's
know
a Mario game too.
Well, that officially is not a Mario game.
Doki Doki Panic?
That game, was a different game in Japan. The real Super Mario Brothers 2 was the exact right one.
This for a while. I said Odyssey would be a system seller, so I'll wait to see numbers if Nintendo puts out any not the game sales but system sales. But I said this from the beginning: the 3D Mario games are more approachable than Zelda. Is a much wider appeal. Is a much bigger brand. So I said this would definitely be a system seller. So I'm just going to wait and see how those numbers pan out.
In my case, if Zelda can sell that many units, Mario is just going to do that to the nth degree. Like it's going to like people are foaming at the mouth for Mario, man. More so than any other time that I can remember of in recent memory. Like Mario Galaxy didn't get this much buzz, and that shit was highly rated too. But this is
a system with a huge amount of player base, you know.
Yeah,
this reminds me of when Super Mario 64 came out. But this is almost exactly what it feels like.
No, I think even more so because Super Mario 64 didn't really like N64 was not a like successful system per se.
Like, no, I just mean the hype surrounding the game, like. The idea that like it's a new Mario but it's the same Mario, it feels like the successor to that. I felt like it strayed away from the core franchise. I feel differently than that. I feel like it strayed away from the core franchise a little bit with Galaxy and even more so with Sunshine. And I feel like this is when they went back. They're like, this is kind of more of a successor to Super Mario 64. They've said everything I wanted to hear. Like when they said Breath of the Wild is pretty much kind of like a successor to Ocarina of Time. And I was like, all right, got my attention. The same way they said, this is kind of a successor in the game, you know, in the ideal sense of it's the game that feels like it would come after Super Mario 64. And I was like, okay, I'm listening.
All sequels are spiritual successors to their predecessors in some former fashion. So like for example, Zelda
successors to like games three games prior in the line.
I
don't know. I mean, this game in general seems to go back to a lot of the things that were already established in the previous games, which were Mario Galaxy, as well as, you know, the original. I mean, just look at a lot of his animations. Like, oh, he's got Mario 64 shit. He's got Mario Galaxy stuff. So it's a mixture of things. It's pretty much it's almost like they took the best parts of what from the previous games and combined them.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And like, if for example, if Mario Galaxy didn't implement something that was done in Super Mario 64, for example, then they'll implement that in the new one. And then that's where Brett will say, well, it's kind of more of a spiritual successor to Super Mario 64. It's like, no, like, it's just, they're all kind of like a homogenized entity, which is like really well defined to suit the people who buy this game. Like,
if Mario, if you could pick out the thing that you loved about your old game in it, and like, if everybody feels like this is the sequel to their favorite game, then you've done something magical. Like, you've done this awesome hat trick. There was like, everybody in the audience is like, that is my card.
I like the fact that you said hat trick on Mario Odyssey.
I did that on purpose. You're welcome.
Which is the quote unquote gimmick of this game.
The
hat stuff, which is like the new dimension. Like before it was gravity with Mario Galaxy, and then it's like the fucking 3D with Suit 64, or the fucking the jetpack shit for Super Mario Sunshine. Like, they all have their kind of thing, that the new thing that they implement that's like makes it its own game. Its own Mario game for that generation. But yeah, man, this game, I'm telling you, it's a perfect storm of hype, of critical acclaim, and of a lot of other things that's propelling this Mario game to be even in a position to be even more successful than a lot of its counterparts.
Well, let me ask you, like, even thinking just as a cynic, when was the last mainline Mario franchise game? Not party or card, but mainline Mario game that really disappointed you. That wasn't just a really good, solid game.
I'm talking strictly sales here.
I honestly, like, I've kept myself blind on this game, and part of me is like, I'm gonna get it. Part of me is like, I like Mario, but I don't love Mario. But I found myself at Walmart today being like, you know what? It is a Mario game. Like, I've some are better than others, but I've never really been upset that it's always been a good purchase, and I've always enjoyed it. So I was like, fuck it, I'll go ahead and pick it up. So I guess that's my point. Like, when has a Mario game ever really been a bad purchase? And I think that gives a lot of people confidence to just be like, fuck it, I'm gonna buy it.
I think even for its lowest rated the lowest rated Mario game, which is the one Mario Sunshine, I think
which
in
has,
a lot of
which
ways
has a 93 on Metacritic, by
which
the way.
Has a 93 on Metacritic, which one of the lowest, you know, people didn't like that. Some people didn't like that game. It still ended up for a lot of people being one of their favorites. So I think in general, when you get something from Nintendo, they don't make really bad games. I mean, you know, there's still people, you know, you want to talk about like people, like there are people that love Twilight Princess. There are people that love a lot of those games. There have always been a good level of things. Like, there's never been just pure shit that they've sat out there.
Oh, by the way, and to all the people who are saying, like all these Switch gang people, they're saying, oh, Mario is back with Super Mario Odyssey. I'm like, motherfuckers, Mario's always been here. 3D Super Mario 3D World and fucking Mario Maker were the shit for the Wii U, but y'all didn't buy it for then.
Motherfucker.
Screw y'all, man.
I'm one of those kind of people. Like, I feel like this is a return to, you know, I felt Sunshine was just a weird departure. Like, and that was my black sheep game, and I realize everybody kind of has their one. They're like, yeah, and same with Zelda, like Twilight Princess. I was like, I don't know what the fuck you guys are doing. So I appreciate their from my point, what it appears to be them being like, all right, no more of that goofy shit. We're going back to the stuff you like, and we're kind of taking what worked about the goofy shit and just ditching the rest. So this, when I say this seems like a spiritual successor to Super Mario 64 or Galaxy, it's because it doesn't have like the weird, like, well, here's his contraption. And I understand he has the hat, and the hat just feels less intrusive than the water pack did. I don't know why.
Well,
keep in mind, I have not played this game. I have bought it. I put it in at the beginning of the show, and I have to say this because it's awesome. expecting to like download a patch. I put in a card from a game disc that I bought in a machine, pressed power, and the game came on. This was a very this was a novel thing for me. It just like boop, there's the game. Like,
oh, by the way,
it's pretty interesting because for me, when I popped the game in, it was like, you need to update your system.
Day one patch. That's exactly what I was gonna say, yep, man. That felt so weird for me, man. Day one patch for a Mario game.
Yep, it told
me. No, I was totally expecting that. I put it. It's like play, and I was like, well, I mean, not now. I'm after the podcast. Yeah, but okay.
It's interesting because I had to update the shit before I played it. You know,
when I got my Zelda, the Zelda one, I had to do an update and it wouldn't let me play it.
Yeah, well, that's probably the one problem is that Tony, you haven't played your fucking Switch.
I really
who
don't.
Knows how long.
That is true. So, yeah. Anyway, going back to the question, because you're thinking, because you know, I haven't played a lot of it. I only played 2 hours. From what I played from it, it's good. I would definitely recommend it if you have a Switch, but I think these people that are out there saying this is the greatest Mario game of all time, you're exaggerating, bro.
Yeah.
Super Mario World exists. That can never be topped. This shit is not going to touch it. And I'll say this, though, because I'm not too familiar with, you know, 3D Mario games. Mario feels very floaty. Like, he's very kind of tricky to control. He's very slippery, you know? So that's going to take some getting used to, you know? Like, I had that same problem when I played 3D World on, or 3D Land on 3DS. I'm like, Mario feels a little weird, you know? Like, that precision that you would get from, like, the older 2D Mario. Right. Yeah, it's a little off. So I'll give you that. But, yeah, the game is cool. But, again... If this was the greatest game of all time, I would have known it an hour in, 2 hours in. I'm like, this game's fun, but, you know, it ain't all that. Remember, when I was playing the game, I was like, I just want to go back to Assassin's Creed. I'm not trying to play this Mario right now.
I feel like Assassin's Creed obsessed right now, in fairness.
Here's the other thing. I mean, this is the same for a lot of the Mario games, like the 3D Mario games. It seems like as you get further on, you start to go, oh, shit, this is awesome.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I need to get a little... Yeah, but the thing is, people were saying, like, look, 5 minutes in, oh, my God, the greatest game of all time, bro!
No, I mean, I felt like...
I've heard the opposite.
Oh, Brad.
No, Brad, you haven't been on Twitter, bro. Everybody's saying this is the greatest game that has ever been created by...
No.
It will never be topped until the next Mario game.
No, I'm not saying that people aren't raving about it. I'm saying that most people that I notice are raving about it are saying that the game doesn't really even come into its own until after the story. Apparently, there's after the main story, there's a significant amount of gameplay. And some people are like, this Mario game feels a little light. I feel like I'm just... grabbing moons, like it gets more challenging after the story. So like go ahead, even though it feels and I guess this is a PSA to everybody, don't be afraid to quote unquote rush through the story because there's a lot of content on the other side and that's where a lot of the challenge apparently opens up.
To be honest, that's exactly how Mario Galaxy was.
Yep.
Where you completed the story and then you got more shit. I mean, Chris, you remember me playing fucking Mario Galaxy that time?
Yeah.
But by the way, I do want to. Yeah, no, I just want to quickly say that my little comment about the floaty mechanics, I'm not the only one who's made that. People I've even reported on. It's like 3D Mario games are a little bit floaty, you know? They're a little bit slippery, you know?
I think, well, at least in this game, they've tailored it for a very specific purpose because I'm already seeing trick videos all over the fucking internet. And one of the cool things that I like about this is very much like Breath of the Wild. Nintendo is giving you the green light to cheese dick your way through the test. Like I had seen this one bit where this guy was like, oh, here's this, you know, swing thing. And it was a bunch of bars that basically rose up and down. You're supposed to swing all the way around this big horseshoe to the end of the other map. And this guy just like flipped off the edge, jumped, hit the side, did this double jump, threw his hat out, jumped off that, like, threw it, hit it back against a wall or something like that, and he double jumped and then somehow managed to just jump all the way onto the other platforms, completely skipping the entire obstacle course. And the game's like, cool, here's your fucking moon.
It's like, I mean, the thing is like, yeah, well, I mean, that's the way Mario 64 was, where you could do that super jump that he had, you know, the really long jump, and you could totally skip over, if you did it right, you could skip over certain parts of the levels. They've never been a beyond doing any of that. Or just like in Mario Galaxy, using the momentum of a planet to throw yourself even further into the air.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the floating mechanics are more designed to be able to pull off those tricks than to feel more like you would expect. You're like, okay, this guy is short, squat, and probably pretty dense. This is how I would imagine him to fall. And then you play it, and you're like, He feels like he's made of styrofoam or filled with helium or something like that. And it's Nintendo's basically, in my opinion, being like, yeah, that's so you can do weird jump trick shit. Because if he actually felt like a tiny 3 foot fat plumber, then you'd never get anywhere.
He's not a plumber anymore, right? What was the job they said he is? What was his job?
I forgot what it is, but he's not a plumber anymore, which is interesting.
I am a liaison to the Mushroom Kingdom.
He's an enforcer. He's Italian.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, man. So, yeah, go ahead, Carlos, and just, then move on.
So I never answered the question.
I thought you said did. Yes. You said yes, dude.
Well, I said it will sell systems, yeah. But I thought we were asking an opinion.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, because we went really off track with this one. Anyway, go ahead.
I personally don't think it's a system seller. No, I haven't played it, so maybe it'll change my mind. But I personally view this as the Robin to Breath of the Wild Batman. It between the two of them, I think it'll push a lot of people over the edge. But I don't think I personally wouldn't buy the system just for this game.
Okay. Carlos, what were you gonna say?
So according to GameRankings.com, all time best video games. Super Mario Odyssey is number one.
Best selling?
Ratings wise.
Oh, okay, ratings. Wow. Okay.
98.82%.
Man, that'll drop. I'll stop right now.
No. That's going to drop. They always drop because people rave about the game, and then you have edgelords come in and.
No, this is game rankings though, man.
Yeah, it won't drop, and I'll tell you why. Because I'll read you off number two is Super Mario Galaxy. Number three is Ocarina of Time. Number four is Mario Galaxy 2. And number five is Breath of the Wild.
This is why people think there's a bias for Nintendo in this industry, man. Just throwing that out there.
Dude, they make solid games.
Yeah, but
solid is the all-time best.
Yeah, so, like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, look at The Legend of Zelda. The thing was hyped up to hell. It was a good game, but it wasn't that great. You know,
dude, so Ocarina of Time has been my high watermark for like 20 years.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like the Zelda that came out this year. It's like, yeah, it's good, but guys, tone it the fuck down. It wasn't that great.
It is the best Zelda since Ocarina of Time. So I can say it's the best Zelda.
But you hated Zelda after Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
No, I loved Majora's Mask. I liked Wind Waker less, and I fucking hated Twilight Princess.
Now, Isaac says, fuck Ocarina of Time. Damn.
Oh, damn. That's fine words.
Oh.
Here's the thing about, I think it's partly because, you know, everybody remembers Nintendo making. I've always made decent games, made good games, but I think also nostalgia is also a factor.
Yes,
you remember Nintendo be making great games.
Nintendo saved the industry, you know.
I don't know, man. Was Skyward Sword on that list? I didn't hear any Skyward Sword.
No, but the fact
some people so like many... Skyward Sword too. I mean, the thing is,
no, that some people do, but then not every Zelda game makes it up there.
Yeah. Hold on. Twilight Princess is in here, Brett, so I can show you that.
Oh, is it? What number?
Yeah. It doesn't come by number, but it's like within the top 20, 30.
Damn. I'm not gonna get into it.
But the thing is about it. But it's partly. I always feel like there's also partly nostalgia, and then partly the fact that they make, you know, if you're never going to usually go wrong with most Nintendo games. I mean, obviously there are people, you know, like Adam, who did not enjoy any of the 3D Mario games, and he feels they do not represent what he remembers.
Nope.
Well, but for a lot of people,
saying though, like there's a bias against Pixar. Like, no, there kind of
is. There kind of is. Let's just be honest.
They're very highly polished.
Did you see The Good Dinosaur? I'm just saying.
Why would I watch that?
I did not. But no, like Pixar movies, like, I don't think I've seen maybe it's just because I haven't seen it, but I don't think I've seen a bad Pixar movie. There's ones that I'm not particularly fond about. They're always highly polished, well produced, generally well written.
Yeah, but when everyone does their lists of top 10 movies of all time, no Pixar movie is going to show up. At least maybe just one, like a Toy Story or something.
What about Disney? Like, Disney is going to be in like three of those slots for a lot of people.
I don't think so. If you ask me, like, most of them will gravitate to like either the classics or like a Godfather kind of thing.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on. And the next
question. You're gonna knock on my game, Adam. What are you doing?
All right. Okay.
I come and smash your car.
This is a funny question. Okay.
I leave a Yoshi in your bed.
All right. If you didn't have any consoles right now, You could only buy one this holiday season. Which one would you buy, and what games would you get for it? You know what the obvious answer is. It's a PlayStation 4.
PS4.
PS4, because you're not just buying games that are coming out now. You're buying all the games that have come out. You know, this is Persona 5, Bloodborne, fucking Uncharted 4, Nier, like all this shit. That's the system to get, you know? That's, you know, I want to hear other answers, obviously, but easily the PS4. You know,
here's Brian.
By the way, Brian, it says console.
Consoles. Yeah.
I know. Xbox One.
Oh,
whoa!
What? Why? Again,
because I play multi-platforms. I pretty much think PS4 has one good exclusive, which is Bloodborne. Everything else is kind of okay, well done. So I have no reason to get a PS4. I'm being straight and honest here. Like I have no reason. So hence, I'd buy an Xbox One X, and I'd enjoy hopefully the higher frame rates on that. Because again, it is limited to a console. So,
Brian, I applaud your taste in video games.
Because I said Bloodborne is like the only decent exclusive.
Well, what I heard is Bloodborne is PlayStation's best game. That's what I heard.
It is the only game I actually gave a shit about to buy.
It's PlayStation's best game. Yeah, no, we're on the same page.
Okay, Brett, if you really want to go there, I've only ever bought one game for the PS4, which is GTA 5.
Quit pissing in my Cheerios, man.
You wanted to go there. You wanted to go there. But then saying that, out of the two games I did get with my PS4, which are The Last of Us and Bloodborne, one of them I actually want to play, and the other one is currently sat with my friend who doesn't play his PS4. So that's a lot in my opinion.
So, curious question: are there any Xbox exclusives you want to play?
Yeah.
Oh.
So you just getting it for the multiplat?
Yeah, as I said, I buy multiplats on consoles because I don't think there's many exclusives I actually give a damn. Like the only one that. Oh, the only other one I did give a damn about was Scalebound. So, yeah, Halo, don't care. Halo Wars, RTS, don't care. Quantum Break.
Okay. You know what? I think that definitely for Brian that makes a lot of
Brian
sense.
Brian has unique especially, taste, so it makes sense.
If you're into multi-platform games and you want to play them the best way that you can play them,
exactly,
that would be with the Xbox One X. You hear that, Xbox fans?
Yeah. Hopefully, because looking at how much PS4 Pro support has been happening over the last year, it's kind of really poor. So hence, I'm like, okay, hopefully the Xbox One X support will be better than the PS4 Pro support, because it's just like, wow.
And it has backwards compatibility, too.
That is true.
Oh, yes, I can actually play Black. God damn, that game's great.
I love that game.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris, since you were talking.
Oh, yeah, I agreed with you. I said I would get PS4 easily. Yeah. Like, for the same reasons. Like, the library, I enjoy stuff. And because of the broad user base, like, I know even for a multiplat game, I have more chance of getting games going on PS4 than Xbox right now. And I love Bloodborne, and I love Dark Souls, and again, broad player base, and I love Uncharted, and those are two exclusives for PlayStation. There you go.
Yeah, Manny, I already know your answer.
I already said PS4. I mean, the one thing about it is that the wait, I always wait, at least with the newer newer generation of consoles, for there to be more things. I never really buy consoles on launch, because it's always that crawl and creep that you're waiting for games to come in. So
were you the last of us to get a PS4?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, you were. Yeah,
that was signed the deal for PS4.
Yeah. Brett, Brett, since you were talking, what would you, if you were buying a new console this holiday?
Probably the Switch.
Yeah, for obvious reasons.
No, fuck, Jesus, you guys really think I have drank the Kool-Aid?
I knew you were going to say that too, man.
Kool-Aid red and red right now?
So hold on, Brett.
It would definitely be a PlayStation. I've long been an advocate of, like, look, man,
I love Nintendo. It's a great second system to have, but it's just that. It's a second system to have. If you have one console to choose from, go with the one. Go with a PlayStation or an Xbox and decide off the exclusives. Personally, I like Bloodborne. I like Dark Souls. I like Dark Souls so much that the fact that PlayStation has its own Dark Souls game that Xbox doesn't have, I mean, that right there is the deal breaker for me.
They actually have two Dark Souls. This is easier.
Yeah, but you can't play one of them on PS4, man.
Oh,
unless come you have on. Unless you have PlayStation Now.
Resurrect that demon.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I know. Chris and I, wait until the day they announce it. That'll be all that podcast is dominated by just Chris and I.
That'll be amazing. Yeah, Demon Souls, bring that back.
So, absolutely PlayStation, 100%. I just wanted to see if any of you guys would buy me saying the Switch.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm like, Brad, like, are you honestly going to compare the PS4 library to the Switch library? Even you have to admit, but you already know. You already know, man. You already know.
And, God, no.
Oh, man. You're not that crazy, man. And Adam, man, what would you say?
Yeah, I just got cut off. Wait, about what?
The question, like, if you were buying a new console this holiday season, you know, which one would it be out of all of them?
I already have them all.
No, if you didn't, it's a hypothetical question.
Well, if I didn't, I would go with a PS4 Pro. That's what I would go with. And that's mainly because it just has exclusive titles. You know, I like Uncharted and stuff like that. And that's what's there. I mean, you know, if Xbox had something going on, then besides Forza, then maybe I'd look at it. But
yeah,
I will say that this generation, I say PlayStation 4, this generation, man, it's not as close as it was last generation. Like last generation, PlayStation just had last generation PlayStation had a shitload of awesome games. This generation was not stood up to last gen. I don't think, not yet at least.
Oh yeah.
By the way, yeah. Brett's saying that, not me.
Yeah, that's true.
Even though
this year has been great for this generation, yeah, it isn't compared to last generation. Not even close. You know.
Hopefully we're getting to the part where we get a lot of good games. You know how that part of the generation hits every time, because
hey, we're there.
It was really sparse the first couple years, and then we got some good games sprinkled, and now we're finally getting like the tidal wave. And I'm hoping that it's not just a quick one. I hope the rest of this console cycle leads with strong games like previous generations have kind of done.
Yeah, I mean, look at that. We had three big super games come out on the same fucking day. We're at the point where you have to like consider what games am I gonna buy and play now, because Brett, didn't you ask this during the show? It's like before we were like, huh, what games am I gonna play? What do I have to play? Now it's like, oh, what am I gonna play first? There's too many games.
Yeah. It used to be like, what game is there to buy? And now it's, what game am I going to play, because I have so many options and I know I have to choose.
Yeah.
No longer am I waiting until like, oh man, the next big release drops in a month and a half. I'm fucking excited. I have, and even if I didn't have a backlog, I suddenly have an immediate backlog.
Yeah. It's
which
crazy.
Is weird.
Yeah, I hope it keeps up, man. I hope it keeps up. All right.
Well, it's always we know this. Every November, October, November is chaos.
It took a little longer though. It wasn't until like last year was kind of a little bit there, but this year
we had Titanfall, we had Battlefront 1, we had all the sport games, we have
that every year.
Yeah, we have that every year.
That's what I'm saying.
Those are the basics though. But this year it was like, you know, the big single player games were dropping. You know,
I don't remember when Wastelands came out, but Wildlands, but I think it was around this time.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. All right, and the last question from Mr. Daniel J. He goes, I think they might show a new Tomb Raider game at the Paris game show. What do you think? Also, I love the show in the new format. Thank you, brother. I hope so. Yeah, that'd be great if they show a new Tomb Raider. Supposedly, it's going to be called Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I think they're going to save that for E3. I don't think that's going to happen at you know, that show. Go ahead, Brett.
What can we expect from this new Tomb Raider? Because the last one was not a huge monetary success,
and we know why it wasn't, because it was locked to you know, one system that wasn't the best.
We know that, but do the suits know that? And are they going to respond accordingly, or are they going to be like, "Well, the last game didn't sell well. Clearly, we went in the wrong direction." Like, I'm wondering how the funding is going to be on this game. What? There's a lot of unknowns, because
yeah,
I feel like they're going to.
They're
going to reinvent a bunch of shit.
The game's coming, though. But yeah, hopefully it won't be like, let's throw some more microtransactions. The other Tomb Raider game kind of had that shit, too, in the background. You know? So yeah, hopefully it won't be too fucked up. But I guarantee
Shadow
you.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
I guarantee you this shit is not going to be locked to one system at the beginning. It's going to be multi-plat. I guarantee you that shit.
If Square Enix is smart,
you know, because that killed that game, man. You know, but it still made enough money to warrant a sequel. A sequel is coming. That's not in question. It's just what form
will the sequel take? How well funded a sequel? And that was my question.
Form, the funding, what form? A lot of questions up there, you know.
And then the other thing, it's like, did Square Enix have their exorbitant sales numbers in play as well? Expectations,
that's right.
Like, we expect this to sell $12 billion specifically, billion.
Yeah,
sales.
Because what was it for the first Tomb Raider? They expected to sell 8 million, so they considered it a failure because it only sold 5 million. It sold 5 million in the first 2 months, and they considered that a failure. Yeah, and of course, they went off to sell like 10 million or something. You know, so it's like, guys, give it time. It's Tomb Raider. It's going to sell. Calm the fuck down. You know, same thing with Hitman. Now what happened to Hitman. Fucking crazy.
I'm glad they were able to buy themselves back or whatever. They were able to. But to be honest, to see companies like that kind of, as we saw with the recent cancellation of a certain Star Wars game. When you have talented companies like that being gobbled up by the big guys, a lot of times when they decide to close shop, then that fucks everybody over.
Yeah, I don't really have too much to say about Tomb Raider, but I don't expect it at Paris Games Week. I expect that at E3 or something, or maybe even PSX, but probably going to be the E3. You know, they want to say that for the big show, the big show. And I guess we're going to be talking about Paris Games Week on Throwdown this week. I just realized that. There's so many games coming, so much shit happening, I completely forgot about this. But yeah, Paris Games Week starts, or at least the Sony presser, it's tomorrow night, right? Very interesting. We'll see, but I'm not expecting any megatons. I'm expecting a couple microtons, but not any megatons.
I don't think that Sony. I think Sony's saving that shit. Anybody's going to be really dropping.
They're saving that for a PlayStation Experience, man. You know it.
Yeah, I think because they have their show, I think they're going to save a lot of that shit over. You know, you know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to show up over there from one of those companies, and going to be like, "We will have an announcement at PlayStation Experience."
They're
gonna have an announcement.
Have an announcement to make.
Do you since you guys went to some of those, right? Did you collect any of the cards?
For what?
It was a PlayStation Experience,
I got a couple of them, you know.
I was trying to get Tony to get me a Gravity Rush shirt, but he never found it.
No, you told me this after I had left that gift shop. So this year, I'm going to call you when I get to the gift shop, because it's hard to get into that bitch, you know?
Yomi, I need it. I'm sure they're not going to have a Gravity Rush shirt there. That shit's old.
Nah, so just give me something.
You're going to find a bunch of Kojima production shirts in there.
All right, man. So that's going to wrap it up for us. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us the questions in the comment section of this episode here on YouTube or over on the Coalition, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
I would pick the PS4 as well.
Brian Manjoma.
There, people.
Brett Murdoch.
Taco Cat, spelled backwards, is Taco Cat.
And Adam Vane.
Nobody wants lone players in FIFA with them.
All right, man. We'll see y'all on Throwdown episode 157 later.
Peace.
See you guys.